If you're a new mom on paid maternity leave, you should consider yourself lucky. Federal law does not require employers to give paid maternity leave. In fact, the United States is one of only four countries that don't mandate it. About a third of all workers do get paid maternity leave. But what if you're a new father? Well, sorry to say, Dad, only about 15% of you have access to paid paternity leave. The Boston College Center for Work and Family has spent 5 years researching the changing role of working fathers. The center released a report this month that focuses on paternity leave. Professor Brad Harrington is executive director of the center and the report's lead author. He told me if a dad's not around for the first few weeks of his baby's life, that could make a difference in their relationship in the long run.
Well, I think the first few weeks are an important bonding period between father and child. And what you find is that kids who have engaged fathers, and that usually does start very early on, have, you know, all kinds of positive outcomes, both in terms of physical health and emotional health and likelihood of engaging in risky behavior, things of that sort. So father's engagement with children from almost the word go, right up through their teenagers and so forth, is a really important determinant of good outcomes for children. When the mothers take time off, and they may take, you know, on average, I think it's 12 to 13 weeks off, but some mothers take as much as 6 months off following the birth of a child. Even in those early weeks, immediately what that does is it establishes who is the primary caregiver and who isn't. And I think that in most cases, as you can imagine, it's the mom who fulfills that role. As she does that, not only does she bond with the child, but in addition to that, she develops her competency at caring for the child and also her confidence as a caregiver and as a parent. When fathers don't have that opportunity that mothers have, I think it's very, very difficult to reverse the trend and say, well, the father's going to jump in 3 months from now, and he will be able to be an equal caregiver with the mom.
I'm speaking with Brad Harrington. He's lead author of a report that looks at paternity leave at American companies. And Brad, you spoke to a lot of people, and many of them told you that paternity leave was something important, but I take it the vast majority said they would not take paternity leave unless they were paid their full salary or nearly so. Why is that?
So we had about 1,000 dads in the study. 99% of them said they thought it was important for organizations to offer paternity leave. But one of the things that was clear was the dads expected to be paid the vast majority, over 70%, and nearly half said they would like 100% pay before they would take leave. Because moms who take leave are likely going to be in either a reduced pay or no pay status, I think a lot of the fathers look and say, we can't afford for both of us to be in that situation at the same time. So I think it may seem self-serving or selfish of the dads to say, I want to take it, but I'll only take it if I'm paid at a very high percentage of my pay rate. It may seem self-serving at first blush, but I think when you think about the chances that their wife has already made a compromise in terms of her pay, I think the family probably feels that they need the father's income in order to be able to sustain their standard of living.
In addition to money, is there some sort of stigma for a man who takes paternity leave?
I think that that's diminishing, and when you looked at the fathers in our study, the vast majority of them felt that 2 to 4 weeks was a reasonable amount of time for dads to take off, assuming the company has that kind of a sanction for them to do so. Whether they were offered 1 week's time off, 2 weeks' time off, 4 weeks, 6 weeks, or more, 2 weeks seemed to be a time frame that a lot of dads settled on. And when we asked fathers, if you were offered more than that, why would you still only take 2 weeks? The responses we got were often, number one, I'm afraid of who's going to do my job while I'm gone. Number two, I'm afraid of the mountain of work that I might be facing if I take more time off than that when I come back to the office. But the number three thing really talks to the issue that you raised, which is that fathers who are too conspicuous in their caregiving might be seen as lesser players on the career front. That extends into fathers who share caregiving equally with their wives over the longer term. There's been research that's been done that suggests that men who are too conspicuous in the workplace about their parenting role will face career penalties and sometimes will face sort of negative blowback from some of their colleagues or even the managers within their organization.
As have many working women.
Absolutely. The irony is, of that one, though, is that women pay a penalty from a career perspective, But the general research that's been done on this would suggest that women within organizations who do more caregiving are seen as lesser workers, but better women. Men who do the same thing are seen as lesser workers and lesser men. And that's because people see it as legitimate. Even though women pay a price for it, people see it as legitimate for women to make compromises for their family, but it's not viewed as being legitimate for men to do the same.
Brad, the millennial generation is getting to the point where it's having children. How has that affected or will affect family leave policies across the country?
Well, we definitely saw that as much as paternity leave was valued across the boards by the men in our sample, that the younger the dads, the higher the percentage of them that valued time off and leave for their having their child. I think what you'll find is that the young people coming into the workplace today, they're married to women that are oftentimes at least as educated, if not more educated than they are, who probably did better at the university than they did, and whose career prospects and even pay levels may be higher than the men's. So I think young men today are very cognizant of the fact that they're no longer in the driver's seat when it comes to being the financial provider for the family, that it's just as likely, if not more likely these days, that young women who are well-educated are going to be in that situation. So they just, I think, accept it as a fact that they are going to have to share caregiving much more equally than was the case, say, in their parents' generation.
I understand the White House is holding a Working Families Summit soon. What do we expect to hear from them?
Well, it's interesting. I was at the White House on Monday, and one of the things that they have this summit coming up in about 2 weeks, on June 23rd, and I think that although they know the chances of national legislation is going to be limited, I think that they are, in effect, using the bully pulpit, if you will, to express their desire to see organizations and states and legislators to do more and to do what they can do to make things better for working families. And I think they will be talking about a whole range of issues, including leave policy, including flexible work arrangements, and also things that have been on the horizon for a long time around gender pay equity, as well as raising the national minimum wage.
Brad Harrington is Executive Director of Boston College's Center for Work and Family. Happy Father's Day weekend. It's The Record.